This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on the Score.
As we talk about ownership groups in this town, whether it's the Reinsdorf family and the White Sox, or the Reinsdorf family and the Bulls, or now the Bears and the McCaskies, we talk about succession all the time. Like, it's just, what's going to happen? Do you have any suggestions as to what the McCaskey family ought to do now that Virginia has passed? There's seven children who have a big decision to make, whether to sell the team or to try to run it. Maybe they could have some sort of competition to see who could end up in charge. Any thoughts would be most welcome.
Full disclosure, and I think you guys know this, I'm engaged to Kelly McCaskey, so there's a little bit of a crossover here. So that having been said, which she just walked by, hey, sweetie. That having been said, I've told Kelly to tell her family, you know, I think the Bears have had an incredible run, but maybe it's time to shut it down. Like, take your wins and just move on. So I'm behind the scenes pushing for bankruptcy and shut the whole organization down.
That was the great Adam McKay, executive producer of Succession, of course, writer of Anchorman and Talladega Nights and so much more, on the Spiegel and Holmes show last week. I didn't know he was engaged to Kelly McCaskey. Editor's note, he is not. But his suggestion for the Bears was just to shut it down, take your wins, and just move along. I don't think that's what they're going to do, Mark Grody. I think they're actually going to try to compete yet again. Upcoming. Sorry.
Oh. Wow. Did you just burp, brother?
I did. I tried to swallow it. Keep going.
Open and shut case for the burp police.
Yep.
Yeah. We haven't done a fart investigation in a long time.
No, it's true. Didn't the Midday steal that bit?
What haven't they stolen?
Yeah, I don't know.
Isn't that their bit? I thought that was their bit.
It was definitely our bit first.
It got conflated.
Perpetuating that
I'm sorry. Yeah. Yep, I walked right into that.
Yeah. No, it was definitely our bit from long ago.
They take our drops. They take our ideas.
Sure.
Because Spiegel popularized it because he was the first ever fart on our show.
Yeah. And so, was that the one during the pandemic?
He was a farty boy.
I was home,
dude.
And I was talking about the Bears' offense.
Farty
I believe.
Yeah, he was a farty boy.
He's a farty boy.
My girl wants to farty all the time. Farty all the time. Yeah.
Well, and listen, I point this out, that isn't to say that the Bears' flaws aren't valid or aren't worth discussing or aren't worth scrutiny. The Bears' offense is bad and inconsistent and not getting better quick enough.
Oh, man.
Oh, God, dude. You farted.
Stop. It's just guilty as charged.
Is this your nightmare Spiegel?
This right here?
Yes. This right here.
You mean hosting with you?
No. Having to hear your bodily functions. Play
the Bears' offense is bad.
The fart police, they live inside of my head. The
Which agent police. Was it that farted with, was it with Bruce?
It was Alan, Alan Farter. Alan Gassy. Alan Gassy, I believe, was his name.
that one was severe.
Yeah, no, that was.
They can be replaced by lesser players, but as a group, they cannot be replaced. Not that talent.
Right.
No!
Yeah, there's no question about it.
No! I didn't remember it was that long.
Yeah.
That's amazing. That reminds me of my favorite moment from inside the clubhouse when Jim Bowden... And Jim Bowden was clearly on the toilet during an interview, and we learned by the presence of a surprise flush midway through the interview.
Forgot to mute the phone.
Forgot to mute the phone. Or
like, we've
didn't
all
know
had
how.
Conversations on the toilet.
Sure,
but you remember to mute the
Maybe
phone.
Maybe not on the radio necessarily, but I usually remember.
Grody
that.
Grody called out a guest when he was working with Rosenblum one time, and it was a beat writer, and I think it was Rosenblum says, "Are you in a bathroom right now?" And he's like, "No," and Grody's like, "Yes, you are."
And I do believe that particular beat writer was angry with me for a while.
Who was it?
Would not come on our show
at some
time. And it wasn't Pat Boyle. Yeah. He was actually a very nice man. So actually, it was Chris Cook.
The cooker.
Yeah.
The cooker.
I mean, I'm like thinking, it's on the radio. It happened.
Yeah.
And I have no ill will whatsoever.
You shouldn't have pointed it out.
Chris Cook.
Don't point out stuff that happens on the radio. You should do that thing you do sometimes where you don't listen. That's that's better.
You've been wanting to fire that off for a while.
Putting on a beat writer to talk about the Blackhawks.
Well, there was a time, Shane. There was a time.
Yeah, absolutely.
That was probably in 2011 or something like that. No, Chris Cook was awesome.
Hot time. By the way,
are you flushing the toilet on us, Chris?
No, I'm not. No.
Oh, well, it sounds like. What is
it? Yes, you are. I'm sorry, Chris. I owe you an apology.
So sorry that you lost Chris Cook for a little while.
He's a good dude.
He was
a delightful guy.
He was the Tribune beat writer for the Blackhawks.
Yes, he was
an important man. He covered some baseball,
and his
too.
Father,
really good at his job.
His father, Jerry Cook, was a legendary news writer and sports writer in this town. Terry Boyes used to call him the cooker.
The cooker.
The cooker.
Always smoked the pipe.
Yep.
Always had. Was one of the last people I knew that actually smoked the pipe.
Yep.
And
Spiegel. Herb Spiegel there.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Gary Grody, my dad, smoked the pipe for a lot of years up until they told him to stop smoking the pipe, but he stopped smoking the pipe.
They should hang out. They should hang
Absolutely.
Out. Your dad and my dad.
Oh,
they'd have a good time.
They could talk maple tobacco and whatnot.
Mark, show the people your T-shirt.
Oh,
it is a glorious T-shirt. I wonder if you know the website to
the
find it
right
now.
Here?
Yeah, just point it at a camera.
It is. Well, I don't want to cover myself.
One of these over here. Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, how's that?
Right there. Yeah, that works.
Take the North.
It's a beautiful, beautiful T-shirt. The Take the North T-shirt.
That's right. It's our podcast that I perform with Dan Wiederer.
Uh-huh. And you were wondering about this division because it's an interesting time to think about the Bears division because positivity runs amok among Bears fans, but we've been here before. It ran amok last offseason.
Yes.
And there was a lot of us. I picked the over at 9.5 wins.
Okay, so you picked the over. Other side, Shane, Tanny, how many wins did you have for the Bears last year? Do you guys remember how many wins you gave the Bears last year, approximately?
I had them 9-8.
9-8.
And Shane? I had 10-7.
10 wins. I think I gave them 11 wins
last
year. I'm like really embarrassed by that.
We were all deeply wrong.
But we did the whys to it, Matt Nagy. We did it because
New
DJ
City.
Moore.
Old Irving.
Because Keenan Allen. Because Caleb Williams. Because Roma Dunze. We did it because the Bears had a top 10, maybe felt like a top 5 defense coming into the season because Montez Sweat, because Kyler Gordon, because of Jaquan Brisker. We all thought the Bears were going to be a 9-11 win team last year.
And where were we deeply wrong?
Well, we were deeply wrong on the offensive. We underestimated the issues on the offensive line. I'll say I did because I did not think this was going to be a bad offensive line coming into this season. I had some concerns, but things went awry when you had the Coleman, Shelton, Ryan Bates competition, and then Ryan Bates eventually gets hurt as your center. Same old issues with Tevin Jenkins, and then, of course, the dysfunctional Nate Davis issues. I don't know that we could have foreseen that, so I don't look back on that and say, boy, you really got that wrong. It's hard to have a good offensive line in the NFL, and I thought the Bears' offensive line going into this season was going to be serviceable. I never thought it was going to be good or anything like above a C plus or maybe a B minus, because it's hard to build offensive lines. But I did not think it would become so dysfunctional as it did for an array of reasons. So really my question is, relative to the Take the North and the North Division, is how far, based on all that, because that talent didn't go away. All that talent still exists with the Bears. Offensive line, you have to take care of.
And they're going to do that.
Right, so how quickly, if you believe in that talent, and maybe some people listening right now are like, nah, I thought it was going to be a bust all along. I thought Cole Kmet wasn't worth $50 million. I didn't think that, you know, Roma Dunze was going to have a 1,000-yard year in his rookie season. I didn't think that DJ Moore and Caleb Williams would have chemistry. Maybe you saw some of that, but I think the majority of people listening still look at those guys and say, those are pretty talented guys that you could build a winning team with. So the question is, how far away are the Bears actually? Are they really just a tweak or two, a player or two, I should say, that's not a tweak, away on the offensive line?
From what?
From being what we thought they were going to be going into this season, because all those players, DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, well, he's probably not going to be back, Caleb Williams, Roma Dunze, Montez Sweat, Kyler Gordon, they're all going to be back next year. So did the Bears have a bad season last year, those core players, or are they bad players that don't work on this Bears team?
I think the whole design of team building was flawed when you think about a rookie quarterback. I think that if you're going to have a rookie quarterback and ask him to learn the ways of the league and learn the ways of protection schemes and reading defense in the league, you have to give him a running game and an offensive line. And they did not do so. And when I look back on being how wrong that I was most wrong about that. That they didn't focus on having a good run game and an offensive line and giving the quarterback a chance to do what he needed to do. They thought they could open it up and play with three wideouts a ton and be such a good passing team that they would surprise defenses when they ran on them, like they were the Kansas City Chiefs or something like that. And that was just a really arrogant and flawed plan by a first-time GM who has the arrogance of first-timers, had the arrogance of first-timers, like I've talked about for a couple years, and a head coach who really had no offensive philosophy, had none whatsoever, and let an offensive coordinator in Luke Getsy go along with the idea. And Luke Getsy had never trained a young quarterback on how to learn things in the NFL. He'd never really done that.
So he learned from a quarterback.
Right. Yeah. They had a terrible plan in terms of helping a rookie quarterback assimilate into the NFL. And I believe that Ryan Poles has learned from his mistakes, and he has now a guy in Ben Johnson who will be much more empathetic and intuitive and thoughtful in helping a young quarterback, and he's going to give him a running game. And I think about what Jim Harbaugh said when he took that job in L.A. with the Chargers. How are you going to make Justin Herbert better? Quote, we're going to give him a running game, unquote. That was his immediate response. Harbaugh knew that's what they did for Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's what Greg Roman did for Lamar Jackson.
No doubt. And all of that said, I don't think it's crazy then to think, and this is hard to do, and they're going to have to really work at it. Are the Bears two good offensive linemen and a running back away from being where we kind of put them heading into this season? Are they that away from being a team that we can? Okay, now they're a 9-win team.
There's a lot
now
of people
they're a
in the league.
Team.
There's a lot of people around the league who think so. Yes, who think that they're, you know, two or three new offensive linemen. I think probably three in the interior of that offensive line.
And you're not going to get top dollar at every single position. You're probably going to get one big money guy on the offensive line, and maybe a draft pick, and then they've actually just signed a couple of offensive linemen. I don't think those are going to be starters, but
coaching matters. Coaching matters. There's a reason. Yes. There's a reason the whole world is talking about Ben Johnson when it comes to the Bears. There's a reason that we're excited. We just learned how much coaching matters after Getsy and Waldron, and Eberflus, we learned how much sensible, thoughtful coaching matters.
That's a great point.
And they just got a guy who seems to know what he's doing. A guy who's coached multiple positions on the offense before he became the OC, has been one of the best OCs, if not the best, in the NFL for 3 years. Last offseason, he knew that he had job offers, and he said, I'm going to wait one more year. And during that time, I'm going to really think about what I will do when I'm head coach.
Yeah.
And he did.
Yeah.
And now he's here, and he's really thought about it. So his vision, that's why we do the segment called His Vision, he matters. And I can't wait to see what the relationship between Caleb Williams and a functional offensive line actually looks like when a smart offensive coordinator and visionary like Ben Johnson is directing it. It's going to be a completely different thing.
And when Ben Johnson really shows Caleb his part in all of it, when he shows Caleb Williams where he took a sack or where it was his mistake that he made the wrong decision because, you know, we're sitting here ripping on the offensive line. A lot of it was on Caleb, too. Caleb Williams made a lot of mistakes this year. He had a typical rookie year, the high highs and low lows for sure. So that's another thing that Ben Johnson is going to make right, because it's not just the offensive line. A lot of it is. A lot of it was. But a lot of it is Caleb Williams, too. So that's such a big part. But I still nothing has happened with Caleb Williams that has taken me off. I still think Caleb Williams is going to be great. And so it's going to be fascinating to see what he does with this team, with hopefully a better offensive line. You know it's a better coach. And then the division part, Spiegs. That's the part where you look at Detroit's going to be right back. I can't include Detroit in this conversation. Detroit is going to still be great for a long time to come. We know they have all those ingredients that the Bears desire and want, and that you were talking about, running back, offensive line, right there. Uh-huh. Detroit is still, so I'd leave them out of this.
I don't know. They lost both coordinators and a bunch of other coaches on the staff. And Dan Campbell is terrific, but
if Dan Campbell's a great coach, like we've all said it, Dan Campbell's the greatest in the world. He should be able to keep that team together with the talent that exists on it. But no doubt, look, mm-hmm. they just lost. You're right. Their OC and their DC to head coaching jobs. Uh-huh. So,
but let's say you put the Bears at 8 wins or 9 wins.
Yeah.
That's 9 wins would
11.
Be four more. Okay,
11.
But nine would be four more. Where are those wins coming from? In the division last year, the Bears were 1-5.
Right. Well, this is what I'm saying. That's what I was getting to. Like, did Minnesota show themselves at the end of the season? Did Green Bay show themselves with their prompt eliminations in the postseason? Jordan Love did not have a great season. And even the year before, he was bad for a lot of the year and then picked it up at the end. And obviously, got the Packers into the playoffs and they dismantled Dallas.
Yeah.
But I just do think that there is some vulnerability. I'm not ready to say that the Bears are better than these teams. What I am ready to say is, oh man, it's probably a curse to say it. I don't think the Bears are that far away. And I know you used to hear that a lot.
They're not that far away.
Really.
But it's the NFL. NFL's different than the way Rosner used to laugh at that in a baseball sense and like how you got to strip it down and build it back up. The NFL, it happens every year.
Yeah. But here's another thing. Bears don't have to really strip it down. Because I was worried. You have Ben Johnson coming in. He wants to do it his way. The rookie quarterback usually gets the benefit of the doubt. He can win 6 games and it doesn't matter. It's his second year. But then you really look at it and you say, the pieces are there that you can compete and maybe, and I've got to see more, and I'll be going to the combine in February at the end of this month, maybe start to think about putting the Bears back at the take the North.
What do you mean? Yes. Like take the question mark away?
Take the question mark away.
Well, who's going to come back to the pack in that division?
Well,
last year, I thought it was going to be Minnesota, and then Kevin O'Connell's coach of the year, and Sam Darnold is the most improved player in the league, or if he wasn't, he should have been.
Yep.
But whatever. It's like it wasn't Minnesota. Is it Minnesota now because J.J. McCarthy's going to take they're going to take a step back as an offense? Are we supposed to believe that Kevin O'Connell can't coach a rookie who just sat there and watched all year?
Is
Green Bay going to come back to the pack? And you make good points about Green Bay. I'd love to see Green Bay coming back to the pack. Do you know what Green Bay's record against the division was last year?
What?
1-5.
Okay.
Same as the Bears.
See?
Okay. I didn't realize that.
I think you're making the argument right now.
So maybe it's Green Bay that comes back to the pack. That would be glorious.
That would be really nice. Yeah. And there's something about Minnesota, too, and I know we spent the whole year not trusting that Minnesota was really good, and they were really good the whole year and win the division.
Until the last two games.
Until the last two games, exactly, that they were completely ousted out of it. Could they come back to the pack? Because that franchise, it feels like, I have to go back and look, they're about as hard to predict as any team in the NFL, the Minnesota Vikings, because they've had a couple of come out of nowhere, including this past season, come out of nowhere seasons.
And the one before it with Cousins was another comeback.
Yes.
Come out of nowhere, right?
So there's been a lot of that with Minnesota. And sometimes they're like, occasionally they're bad, but usually that's a team that's average. So I never expect Minnesota to completely fall off the table, but come to the middle of the pack. Yeah, it's almost like the NFC North lost a lot of the power, the oomph that it had going into last season when we thought it was the best division.
So
and it probably was.
The Bears were really close in a lot of games that they lost because of coaching malfeasance last
good
year.
Good word, by the way.
Black Ned Flanders points out in Twitch. I don't know. I guess he looks like Black Ned Flanders.
Oh, I thought there was like a
but
Black
he points
Ned,
out in Twitch, the Bears were a blocked field goal away from sweeping Green Bay. Don't I know it? My bet would have hit. And they were two Eberflus brain farts away from splitting with Minnesota and Detroit. I'm not sure if you call that what happened in Detroit.
You're talking about the Thanksgiving Day game.
But either way, they were close in a lot of games. They should have won the Washington game and been 5-2.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh,
like there was a lot there. So coaching matters, and coaching's going to make a big difference. If you're telling me... Right. I mean, right now, before offseason moves, if I got to go over on 7.5, I'm going over on 7.5.
Yeah.
And I might go over on 8.5.
Right now?
I might.
Oh, wow.
I mean, they got a lot of assets to use.
Yeah. See,
and you know they're going to go offensive line. If they use two out of those top three picks on the interior of the line and they sign a guard like either Trey Smith or Becton or somebody, you're going to be like, oh, wait a minute, man. They got three new offensive line pieces.
But right at this very second, if the line was set at 7.5,
you go over.
Really?
With the expectation of moves to come.
Okay.
$74 million in cap space.
Yeah.
And
so you trust. So I like that. No, you trust the Bears. It's been a long time since I've heard somebody say, yeah, I trust the Bears to get it done. I like it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a different look at and the Bears deserve some of that. That after this search and Kevin Warren, what he did deserves a pat on the back.
I think when next year starts, you and Dan Weeder should take the question mark away from the Take the North podcast.
By the way, it's pronounced Weedere, first of all, just so you know.
And like former Oakland reliever Greg Catteray?
Ooh, I don't remember Greg Catteray.
Okay.
Wow, you got me there, man.
Nobody does, dude. Don't worry about it. That's the kind of baseball mind he has.
Yeah, I'm usually...
Tony La Russa,
right there on
Tony
those
La Russa
kinds of things.
Invented the modern bullpen, at least what was then the modern bullpen, with Catteray and Eric Plunk as the short guys, Rick Honeycutt, and I think it was Gene Nelson as the two long guys, and Eckersley as the closer.
Gene Nelson as in the former Cubs... No, that was Davey Nelson.
Yeah.
Davey Nelson was
I
the former
say,
Cubs broadcaster.
Now I got to find out whether it was Gene Nelson.
And I'm thinking about Davey Nelson. You're thinking about Gene Nelson. I don't know what's going on
it
over
was
there
Gene
on the
Nelson.
Other side over there.
It was Gene Nelson. I feel good about
Shane's
that.
Shane's thinking about the band Nelson.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm thinking about their father, Ricky Nelson.
I can't live without your love and affection. Wasn't that it?
Yeah, definitely. That's exactly what I was thinking about.
That's hot.
I was thinking about Tony La Russa also inventing my hatred for baseball.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking about the half Nelson that Shane's going to put me in if I don't break.
Oh, wait. Can I ask you a music question after this? Or maybe I could do it right now.
Right now.
You've heard of the song Leave It, haven't you?
By Yes?
Yes.
From 90125?
Oh, had you also, Shane?
Yeah.
Well, now
one down, one to go. Another town and one more show.
Yeah.
Come on, man. That's kick-ass.
Guess who didn't know it?
I
Tanny.
Oh, hell yeah. Badass.
It's so badass.
So badass. Produced by Trevor Rabin.
Really?
Big Yes Rebound album.
Are they all still alive?
Not all of them.
Okay.
Christopher Squire's dead.
Guitar on this one, I think, is Dag Julin.
Not true. Oh, turn it up. Here's the vocal breakdown. Come on, man. Let's go.
Slaps, dude.
Come on, that's badass. It's a killer song. It's same album as Owner of a Lonely Heart.
That's right.
But this is better.
That synth in the background is insane.
Yeah.
I like the doom.
One down,
one to go.
Yeah. One more time. Another. I can totally see them in the performance studio on this floor. Hey, yeah, the remaining members of Yes are doing a show.
John Anderson can still sing, yeah. I do believe. He is Mark Grody. I'm Matt Spiegel. It's the Spiegel and Holmes show on 6-7 The Score. Grody's going out tonight. Where's he going? You need to know. We'll do it next.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
Spiegel and Holmes.
You guys are friends of the program, man. I can never turn y'all down.
I know that's right. That's Stacey King.
The friends of the program are my friends, and they are friends for life.
Afternoons on The Score.
Are we talking bowls? Are we talking football? What are we talking?
Tonight at the United Center, the Bulls play the Detroit Pistons. And as we all know, this rivalry is as hot and as relevant as it was when Joe Dumars and Isaiah Thomas were holding back Michael Jordan from the NBA Finals. And that's why one of the attendees tonight will be our man, Mark Grody.
Back when they used to play that song that Tanny came in with, Another One Bites the Dust. One of the most badass parts about the 90s Bulls wasn't the introduction. It wasn't the Michael Jordan dunks. It was after the Bulls beat a team's ass and that song would pierce through the Chicago Stadium or the United Center. Another One Bites, like, business, baby. This is like that. Everybody uses that song, right? But it really meant something with the 90 Bull or the 90s Bulls.
Yeah. And yes.
So now, that brings us to the year 2025.
That's where we are.
That is where
in
we
the
are.
Year 2025.
Ooh, yeah. That doesn't sound nearly as good as the year 2000.
No, in the year 2000.
Still like it. Yeah, I'm going to the game tonight. I wanted to go, so I got a couple of tickets.
Yeah, and you and the Dorf.
Me and the Dorf. Dan Dorfman, we're going to head on over there. I don't even know where the seats are at this point, but we're going to go over there and watch at least three quarters of the game.
When it's Bulls Pistons, does it really matter?
No, it does not matter.
You throw the records out.
You throw the
seat locations out, yeah. Everything.
And 27, 20.
What you do is you throw the tickets out.
You do. Yeah, you don't go. Well, are they score tickets?
Yeah.
All right, so you're in like 101 or 120, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
that's
actually
great.
Better than I thought. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. They're really good seats. They're like 15th row. Yeah.
Really? That's phenomenal.
Yeah. I might stay for four quarters.
Yeah, you should.
You should.
Wow. You got to watch the next Cooper Flag.
Oh, that's right.
What do you have to do? What do you have to do that's more important than staying for the fourth quarter?
That's a great point.
Come on.
You know what? That's a great point. People always get me on that. What do you have to do thing?
Yeah, sorry about that. I mean, Dave the Cat isn't going to feed
like
himself.
A single guy with no responsibility. What are you? You're right. I am available.
So look, you're hosting the show tomorrow. We would like a full report from the United Center of your experience. And I'll tell you right now, if the game's within 5 points at the start of the fourth quarter and you leave, we will judge you.
Okay.
We will judge you very directly.
If the game is within 5 points in the fourth quarter, I will actually talk about the game that occurred.
Maybe I'll go and make sure you stay.
You would not want to do that. Then you'd be having to go to the Bulls game.
Yeah, damn, that's right. Yeah, I'm so tired already.
Then you're at the Bulls game. Hey, look.
You'd be there in the fourth quarter.
Here's the truth. Detroit is a very interesting young team.
Oh, they are.
Yes, with some real good players. Take a look at Cade Cunningham, the former number one overall pick. Took him a year to bloom, but now he is a beautiful player. Talk about one of those guys with a great court vision who can put up a triple-double on any night, and the whole thing kind of runs through him. That is a really, really good player. So you watch Cade Cunningham, and you report back,
and
sir.
And Tobias Harris.
Tobias Harris.
He's still with Harris,
he can,
yes.
He can score a lot of points. Yeah. But, you know, Jaden Ivey has been a good player for them, but he's now out for the entire year, so you're not going to see him.
Yeah, yeah.
Apparently no Lonzo Ball tonight either.
Oh.
He's out with influenza.
So the Bulls did get crushed by Golden State on Saturday, 132-111. In that game, the Bulls started Io, Vooch, Giddy, Bezelis, and White. So there's your Bulls start. Actually,
and Bezelis, tonight, watch Cade Cunningham and watch Bezelis.
Who gets the, let's say it is that starting five, who gets the finale name mention? Like, who gets the final call in the introduction?
Tell me the five again.
Okay. It's Io Desumu from Chicago.
Yeah, right. It might be Io.
Nikola Vucevic.
Yeah.
Josh Giddey. Uh-huh. Montas Bezelis. Yeah. Kobe White. At least that's my rough draft for their starting five.
Yeah, boy, that's unimpressive.
From North Carolina.
From North Carolina, Kobe White. Yeah. Or from Chicago, Io Desumu.
That'd be hard to resist.
Yeah, I don't know what they're doing. But, I mean, remember, that was a position that they filled for a few years in a row. After Derrick Rose and then Dwayne Wade, they got Jabari Parker so he could fill the necessary introduced last from Chicago position on the team. So now Io can fill that position. Bulls have that roster spot.
I like that. DeMar DeRozan took up that spot for a little while, right? Wasn't it his the whole time that he was here?
I think so.
It was never Zach, or maybe Zach got it a couple times. That's important to me, Spiegel, but I'll report back on that.
Yeah, so report back on that, Steph. Yeah. See if Benny's act is still working.
Oh, yes.
You know?
Well, they now put, I did notice, actually, this has actually been the second Bulls game I've been to this year, and I noticed that they, and maybe this has been going on for a long time, and I just didn't notice that they put the people in the section in like special slickers when they bring the popcorn just to make it even more exciting.
Oh, no. I didn't know that. Do they hand out slickers?
Well, maybe this was a planned thing.
Also, who calls it a slicker anymore?
I do.
Do you call your backside a keister? What's wrong with you?
I think slicker is a great word.
How old are you?
Anytime it rains, make a point of telling people I'm putting on my slicker and my galoshes.
Speaking of things that nobody says anymore,
yeah.
My wife the other day, we were talking about getting tires. We needed new tires for the car. And she's like, well, you know, the Firestone over there, like you can see what the prices are. Or you could, you know, look in the paper and look for an ad. And I was like, babe,
I'm sorry.
Yeah. When's the last time we had a live newspaper in our house?
The paper.
Yeah. And remember the days you used to like comb through the paper? Honey, bring me the arts section.
Right.
They have, I mean, I'm sorry to our friends still for the newspaper.
That still goes on at my parents' house. They still get a couple newspapers.
They do, huh?
Throughout the week.
That's good. I miss that.
And they do that. They do exactly the game of the comics, Gene.
Yeah. I never.
Me neither, man. Yeah. And it's okay. You know, Grody, have you ever?
Say it!
Never have I ever. My wife.
Is there a second after this story, or was that the dramatic finish?
$5
Oh, man, yeah. That was strong.
I broke right there. Something in me snapped. Something in me got caught.
You got the loose stutter just now,
I was
now,
reading
man.
A text, and I was like, this texture is wrong.
And you saw the damn game.
That's right. Something snapped in my brain.
You got Merton and that's all you need to know.
Lou.
All right, guys, you're asking who's going to be announced last tonight.
You've been working the phones, Shane?
I just called Tim Sinclair, the PA announcer, and maybe he'll be able to tell us
that's a great
who's
idea.
Going to be last tonight.
Oh, is this Tim Sinclair?
Yeah, Tim's right there.
Tim!
The PA announcer.
Timmy, the Timster.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, buddy, how are you?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
I'm good. Do you know, can you tell us who's getting announced last tonight? Mark Grody thinks this is a very important part of his Bulls viewing experience this evening.
You know, I will know for sure in about 50 minutes. That's when we officially get the lineups, because I don't even know absolutely who's in the starting five based on, you know, injuries and all that kind of stuff. So if Kobe is playing, he will likely be last.
Okay.
If he doesn't play or if there's some other shakeup, then that might change. But I believe last, if he's playing, should be Kobe White.
T- Tim, it's great to talk to you. I saw Tim a couple weeks ago at the Bulls game, and I went down there, said hi to Berg, said hi to Tim. We had a good conversation.
That's nice.
So good to be talking to you again. Who did it? Who was it in the first game without Zach at home? Was it Kobe that got the?
It was Kobe.
It yep. was Kobe. Okay. It was Kobe. So that must feel a little weird doing the from North Carolina and then it's Kobe White. But I mean, I'm sure that you
and being last, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. From yeah. North Carolina, Kobe White, which is
I
awesome.
Try to give it a little bit of the same, but not the same,
right.
You know, as MJ, because it can't be the same. But he is from North Carolina, and it almost feels weird to not do it. A little bit, you know, so I try to give it somewhat of the same without trying to replicate that because you're never going to be able to.
That's fascinating insight on your process. Can you tell us what it would sound like? Give us what it would sound like if you went full on the old Michael. That's too far. Give us what that would sound like.
It is too far. I'm also in the media room of about 200 other people in the basement of the United Center. So yeah. I'm not sure I want to go full out at the moment.
Okay.
But
you don't want to get beat writers scorned. You don't want to get scorned.
We're not going to set you up or give you any pressure at all. Okay. Don't listen to the music that Chris Tannehill is playing underneath.
If someone
you.
Were to choke on their General Tso's chicken, I would feel bad. Oh, man. Now we got the music and everything.
Yeah. Hey, man, if you don't do it, we'll call Ray Clay right now. I can call Ray Clay.
Okay. Here we go. From North Carolina. There you go.
No, that's
you're
delightful.
Awesome, man. You're
Tim,
awesome.
You're the best. An extra piece of General Joe's chicken for you, sir.
All right. I'll go get another.
Maybe I'll see you tonight, Tim.
Thanks, Tim.
Oh, I hope so. Come say hey.
I will, buddy.
It's tremendous. Thank you. That's Tim Sinclair.
Nice job, Shane.
The PA voice of your Chicago Bulls.
Got right down to the bottom of it. You might not call the guy who will be introducing the Chicago Bulls tonight.
The big story tonight will be if Grody's in the section where they give out free meatball sandwiches, if he will bark like a seal and clap his hands to receive a meatball sandwich.
Oh, is that all I got to do?
That's all you got to do.
Okay.
If you see somebody handing out meatball sandwiches, just go like a seal.
That's why I'm bringing the Dorf. The Dorf will take care of that.
I'll do that.
The Dorf shall do.
You got a seal here and a seal here.
How about seal on the Super Bowl commercials?
As a seal.
It scared me. It frightened me. It wasn't sad. It frightened me. I didn't know what to do with it. You know, we were talking about you get us those commercials earlier. While I got that, and that made me feel warm, I felt like it was creepy. The whole thing.
Sure.
With Seal. It just felt creepy.
Understood.
Yeah.
It was a little creepy and a little sad. I think Heidi Klum took too much of the money. Okay, it's 670 the score at Spiegel and Holmes. When we come back, a couple of Philly folks, while celebrating and winning the Super Bowl, had an incredibly awkward exchange. What did that sound like? You'll find out next.
Spiegel and Holmes show flashback. Flashback.
Technical foul on Les Brodsky. His second, then he's gone.
Hit the road, Jack. Don't you come back no more, no more, no more, no more. Hit the road, Jack. Don't you come back no more.
What you say?
Hit the road,
Jack. From Tim Sinclair to Ray Clay. Still a show where things happen. Spiegel and Holmes on the score. You got the Bulls and the Pistons later on tonight.
More like nothing happened.
All of Philadelphia.
Wait, hold on, Speaks. Ray Clay is actually on the phone.
Is he really?
Yeah, I put Ray Clay on the phone.
Oh, my God.
I just wanted you guys to be able to say hi to both.
Hello, boys.
Hello, Ray Clay. How are you?
I am swell. Boy, do I miss Les Grabsky.
Don't we all?
You were the guy. I don't care what anybody else says. Ray Clay was he was the first one to do it full-throated. A lot of people think it was his predecessor. It was not. Don't let anybody ever tell you anything different.
You guys are too kind.
Yeah. No, that was really Les, actually.
That was our friend Afterlife Les, which makes an appearance.
Give him the grabber.
Give him the grabber.
Yes,
I am capable of that, Ray Clay.
Ray, what do you think about Tim Sinclair? He's a nice guy. We like Tim. You guys cool?
Tim is a busy guy. God, he's everywhere.
Yeah,
he does everything. That's why I like you better.
Because I don't do anything. Thank you.
we love hearing your voice. Did you ever have input on who would get introduced last if Michael wasn't playing? Did they ever let you have a thought on that?
No, but I would.
But you know, Pippen's been pretty pissed about this for a lot of years. Maybe you give Pippen the final call, huh?
Once in a while we did Pip, and you know,
well, you did Pip all the time. After Jordan, yeah, in the 1 year,
we did BJ once too. I think.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah, I think BJ got it.
BJ.
Yeah.
That's outstanding. Ray, you're the best. Thanks for picking up the phone, man. We wanted to make sure we said hello because your name came up, and it's lovely to hear your voice.
Glad to be with you guys.
Thanks, Ray. You're the best, man. Thank you.
It's Ray Clay.
Talking to all the PA guys in town here today.
Unbelievable. And now on the phone is Gene Honda. Yeah.
No.
Oh, come on.
Not a fan.
What? He's a delightful guy.
Frank. Okay.
I had a great time with Gene.
Whatever you say, dude.
That's grounds for termination.
I mean, seriously, like, what? Like, give me, what's the bullet point? What's the problem? You just don't like the voice, or honestly? Like,
yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm. That's too bad.
Is this personal?
Mm. Yep.
Smokes too much?
Let me segue here. In Philadelphia, they've been thrilled.
No, we don't have time anymore.
Oh, it's too bad.
You see what we do?
See, Robin, I should have.
Ventura.
I should have stayed on that then. I should have stayed with Ray. I was trying to squeeze everything in. You know, this show has been a well-oiled and ridiculous. This
oh my
machine.
God. Shane's been running this show.
Yeah. Up until right now. I'd like to apologize to America and mostly to you, Mark Grody.
Yes.
Although now I'm thinking about
the 345 segment?
Yeah, the 345. No.
We have to apologize.
I really enjoyed
that.
I really enjoyed that.
I did
that.
Too.
And,
no regrets.
And I'll be going home to see where my wife is going to take her bag of little G's eye again and drop one in different places. I believe that's the plural term.
It's actually a really nice thing that she does that.
I think so too.
It's just cute little.
It's quite lovely.
Yeah.
Just spreading love.
Neat.
That's how she thinks about it. Want to thank our guests today on the show. John Morosi from the MLB Network. Jason Leisure from the Chicago Sun-Times. And Angelo Cataldi was on the show at 3 o'clock. The former WIP morning host. Go back and listen to that. He was funny and ridiculous, and we enjoyed him. Mark Grody, you're the best. I'll see you tomorrow.
Yep, see you guys.
Groats in for Lawrence Holmes for most of these next couple of weeks as Lawrence is on vacation. It's Spiegel and Company, Spiegel and Holmes, but it's really Spiegel and Grody today and tomorrow. Thank you so much to Shane Reardon for executively producing this fine program and for Chris Tannehill making us sound better than we are each and every single day. We appreciate greatly you listening to the show, and we will repay that in kind starting tomorrow at 2 o'clock right here on The Score.
Hi, everyone. I just want to reach out and let you know that I just realized that I'm not going to be able to continue. I loved it, and I know you loved it, and I just wanted to let you know that I won't be returning, and I love the relationship we've been able